Good morning, church. We are so excited that you are joining us today. We are in a series entitled Disrupted. As a nation, we are facing major disruption. Our lives have been turned upside down. Children are not in school. Adults are working from home. Sometimes we have children crawling on top of us in the middle of a Zoom meeting while we're wearing our pajamas. Grandparents, you haven't escaped this either. You haven't seen your grandkids in several weeks and you miss them. And maybe you'll get that occasional FaceTime call or maybe a drive-by, hi, I love you, as they just keep moving. Guys, because of this disruption, we are living in fear. We run to our favorite talking heads to hear the latest political gossip. We are running to the grocery store to buy toilet paper, to hoard toilet paper of all things. We look at suspicion of the people who are not following our own self-imposed self-distancing guidelines. And we go gossip about them and we're just living in fear. But as believers, are we running to the Lord and Savior for strength and comfort? As we read in 2 Timothy, remember As we reread 2 Timothy 1:7, remember this, that Paul is writing down his final words of encouragement to Timothy. They live in very uncertain times. Timothy faced persecution as well as division in the church. And so we read this, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you did not give us a spirit of fear, but you gave us a spirit of power, and specifically today, of love. And you've given us a spirit of self-discipline. And God, as I pray that as we go on this service and we hear your word, God, that we would be encouraged to love sacrificially, that we would follow your example, God, that we would be light to our community. God, we love you and we praise you. Amen. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jason started our series looking at the idea of fear from 2 Timothy. He showed us how fear can drive us to God or fear can drive us away from him. Last week, we looked at the truth that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Remember with me how the context of the verse helped give us the all-important definition. Power didn't mean we have the power to lift a car over our heads. That would be ridiculous. It meant that the opposite of fear, power not to be weak, defeated, or quit before we even try. Pastor Jason landed on the truth that God's Spirit gives us the power of a changed life and the power to win the race that Christ has called us to. So let's pay careful attention this week as we move to love. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. What does fear cause us to do that's unloving? And how has God's Spirit given us the power to overcome? That's the question we are going to be asking this morning. So, like many sports fans, especially fans of sports in the 90s, I've been captivated by the show, the documentary on Michael Jordan, The Last Dance, and his drive to be the best basketball player of all time. Michael went into the league a young man with all the talent and drive in the world. He was youthful and optimistic. As he went on to win his 6 championships, you could see his countenance change. When he was with people, he went from young and joyful to all business all the time. He was fierce and had a strong drive. But being the most famous person in the world has its drawbacks. Everyone wants to be around you. Proverbs 19:4 says, "Wealth brings many new friends." And he had a lot of new friends. They wanted to go where he went, meet the people he met, and drink what he drank. People enjoyed being around him, not for him, but the prestige that it brought them. When you are the most popular person in the world, it has to be difficult to know who you can trust. Charles Barkley became a longtime friend of his rival, Michael Jordan. They had a lot in common. They were super competitive, and they understood the challenges that each other faced. And after they both retired and went on to new things, Charles recounts a time that after 20 years of being really close friends, he criticized how Michael Jordan was running his basketball team, the Charlotte Hornets. In that moment, Michael cut out his close friend. He did what students would call ghosting him. He stopped talking to Charles Barkley and cut him out altogether. So while MJ was the greatest of all time, he was the GOAT on the court. He struggled with insecurities off the court. His fear caused him to be selfish and prideful. Church, if we are not careful, we can fall into the same trap. If we live in fear, it can take us to a place of pride and selfishness. This is the exact opposite of what God has called us to. We are to live in love. This is not the same feeling a 16-year-old gets when he's all Twitter-pated over his latest crush with all those squishy feelings inside. No, this is, Jesus expects us to be and expects us to have unconditional love, a selfless love. This is the unselfish love of a mother who gets up at 2 a.m. to hold a sick child, or the unselfish love of a father who runs into a burning building to rescue his son. The unselfish love of a parent who puts down their work in their book and in their device to go play a game with their son who so desperately needs their attention. Fear causes us to be selfish and prideful. But God gave us a spirit of unselfish love. The Bible gives us several examples of people who live in the spirit of fear. And today we're going to look at one of those stories, and that's the story of Abraham. We pick up in Genesis 12 where God calls Abraham to leave. God tells Abraham to pick up his life and his security and move to the land that God will show him. Now, for all you planners out there, this would drive you absolutely bonkers. There was no map telling you where to go. There were no stops to go to the bathroom or plan stops to get food. There was no place that you could point to on a map saying, this is where I am going. God just said, get up and go. I'm not sure about you, but I love the idea of my own security and stability. Abraham was moving to a land where he did not know anybody, meaning he was not assured good land to grow his crops or raise his animals. He did not have the security of friends or family to protect him if an invading force or local ruler wanted to harm him. Abraham trusted God. He was living in the spirit of power. Because of Abraham's faithfulness, we see in these verses that God made a covenant with Abraham. He promised to make him a great nation and that he would bless him and protect him. He ultimately told him, He ultimately told him everybody on earth would be blessed through him. Because of Abraham's faithfulness, we see in the verses that follow that God made a covenant with Abraham. He promised to make him a great nation and that he would bless and protect him. I'll just start right there. I'm sorry. This is way different than just shooting off the cuff. I'm sorry, guys. I'm a rookie. No, you're really good at what you do. Okay. So I'm going to pick up it because of Abraham's faithfulness. Okay. The last line, there's a typo. I'm just getting through it. Well, it's bad wording. So I think I have it. Okay. Because of Abraham's faithfulness, we see in these verses that God made a covenant with Abraham. He promised to make him a great nation, and that he would bless him and protect him. He ultimately told him that everybody would be blessed through him. I love that Abraham exemplified what Jason spoke about last week. Power over fear. He heeded God's call. We go on... golly bum. Cut. Sorry. I'm making your job harder. I'm so sorry.
Can you pick it up from the same?
Yeah, that's what I'm just, yeah. Yeah. All right. I love that Abraham exemplified what Jason spoke about last week. Power over fear. He heeded God's call. We go on and see that God creates a covenant with Abraham to make him a great nation. Ultimately, the nation of Israel will be birthed from his heirs, and they will bless all the nations of the world with the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, wow, what a story of faith. It goes on to say that Abraham went and settled the land God promised. When he settled, he built an altar to the Lord and worshiped God. This passage shows that Abraham did not fear. He trusted God and followed God wherever God led him. It must have been so tough to go to a land where you are not known, where the customs are different, and where you are not protected. In the beginning of Abraham's call, he lived in God's power. However, he did not always. One thing I love about the Bible is that it shows the real side of people. It doesn't just glorify our heroes and tell us how great they are. It shows their weaknesses and their flaws. I think of warriors like Samson who fell because of his great selfishness, or King David who fell into adultery and murder. The Bible does not hide anything from us about our great heroes. In Genesis 12, 10 through 12, it says, "Now there was a great famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for there was a famine, for the famine was severe in the land. When he found out..." Back to Genesis 12, okay. My dyslexia is kicking in. Okay. Genesis 12, 10 through 12. "Now there was a great famine in the land. So Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarah, his wife, 'I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me and they will let you live.'" In the case of Abraham, he goes from trusting God and living in fear. There was a time of drought and famine. So Abraham went down to Egypt so that he could find food and safety. He again, was going to a place he did not know. Instead of trusting God to take care of his needs and to fulfill his promise to make him a great nation, Abraham became fearful of his own life. Ultimately, fear is a lack of trust in God's promises. Whether it is a fear that God does not value us, or a fear that God will take care of our needs, or even a fear that we will not be with Christ in the next life, fear left unchecked will lead us to do things that we would not otherwise do. Genesis 12, 13 says, "Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life will be spared for your sake." Abraham's fear led him to tell the Egyptians that Sarah was his sister. No big deal, right? No, it was an absolutely huge deal. Here's what's going through Abraham's mind. My wife is beautiful. By the way, Sarah is 65 years old. And to be 65 and be that beautiful, man, she must have been just amazingly beautiful. And so Abraham has played out the scenario in his mind. If we go down there and they see how beautiful my wife is, they're going to kill me and take her. So he says, say you're my sister. And so they will honor him with respect, gifts, honor, as her older brother trying to win her in marriage. He was saying that his life is greater than her honor or even her life. It is staggering to think that a husband would allow men to take his wife without putting up a fight. He should have fought for her. What's even worse is Abraham benefited from Sarah going to the Pharaoh's harem. He got sheep, oxen, servants, camels, all because his wife went to be Pharaoh's wife. How selfish. How utterly selfish. His fear led him to selfishly protect himself instead of selfishly or lovingly protecting his wife. What is it that you fear the most right now? What is that keeping you up at night? Is it your marriage that is keeping you up at night? You just don't know if you can trust your spouse after all the harsh words they've said through the years. Are you blocking them out of your life? Are you pushing them away? Fear leads to pride and selfishness. What about the case we are just now learning about in Georgia where a black man was running through a neighborhood during the day? Three men chased him down with guns because of the color of his skin and they killed him. Fear leads you to hate. What about the person that always just seems to be more put together than you? Every time they're around, they just reek of accomplishment that you wish you had. So you spread rumors about the person. Now, this was true in my life. As a high schooler, I excelled in so many areas of my life, but I was always down on myself. I lived in fear that I was not good enough for anyone. When someone appeared to be excelling in areas that I thought I was weak in, I just made fun of them and spread rumors about them. Guys, I gotta tell you, I learned the hard way, just a very hard lesson. When a girl I was making fun of for always being up in front of people and always being bubbly and leading and serving, I was just making fun of her just all the time. I was sitting in the back of the student ministry building just making rumors about her. Then one day, I had a friend who ran up to her just excited to see her. And for the first time, I had to actually go talk to this person, the person I've been spreading rumors about, the one that I've been making fun of. And I found out that she was the most amazing person in the world. And now I have to say, I repented of my actions. And I'm happy to say that today I'm actually married to that girl. I made fun of Jenny before I actually met her and knew her. My insecurities made me make fun of her. I was selfish and judgmental. I wish I could tell you that Abraham learned from his fear right away. He did not. He did not trust that God would take care of him and Sarah, so he had a son with his maidservant. I only wonder how Sarah must have felt. She was old and barren. All of her biggest insecurities were left exposed. Even worse, Abraham once again tried to pass Sarah off as his sister, but in this second incident, God protected Sarah. All of this was after God again promised Abraham and Sarah a son. Church, fear leads you to be selfish. But church, we are not called to live in fear. We are called to something much greater. We are called to live in sacrificial love. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear," right? "But of power and love and self-discipline." Christ is our ultimate example of sacrificial love. Think about his life. He could have spent time rubbing elbows with the who's who of the rulers of the world. He could have built the most powerful kingdom of the world has ever seen and perched himself up on the biggest throne. He had every right to do that. But instead, Christ came to earth and dined with those most rejected by society. His love for the lame, maimed, and sinful people cause the most prestigious people, the people that you would naturally think somebody so powerful that the God of this universe would want to be with, it caused those people to turn their backs on Christ, questioning him. He did not just have his reputation smeared. He willingly laid down his life for you and me. He did not have to do this. He did not have to endure the incredible pain he endured. He could have just said, no, I don't need to do this. You know what? He would have been perfectly justified in that because not one of us is righteous. No one deserves him. Yet in his perfect sacrificial love for us, he died so that we might have life. He knew the only way we were going to spend eternity with him was for him to give up his own life for us. He sacrificed himself for us. He went and demonstrated true sacrificial love. God gives his children the same ability to live a sacrificial life, just like he did. And we see that later in Abraham's life as well. Later in the book of Genesis, God blessed Abraham and Sarah with a son named Isaac. Isaac was the promised son to carry out the lineage of Abraham. It was through him that the covenant of Genesis 12 would come to fruition. That must have been a glorious moment for Abraham, a life-changing moment. Several years went by and Abraham was asked to go take Isaac to be sacrificed. Abraham and Sarah were way past childbearing years when they had Isaac. Now there was no way they could have had another child to carry on the covenant. If I'm honest with you, I would have told God there was no way. You are not taking my only son. But something had clearly changed in Abraham's life. He trusted that God would take care of him and Isaac. God's promises were going to be true. I love what Abraham tells Isaac when he asks, where is the lamb that they would be sacrificing on the altar? And Abraham stated in Genesis 22:8, he says, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Abraham went from a life of fear to a life of faith, a life of trust, a life of love. He looked back at how God had provided for him through the years, and he saw a pattern of God's complete faithfulness. Abraham lived a life of love rather than of fear. He loved God so much that he would do whatever God asked him to do. He also knew that God would follow through with all his promises. 1 John 4:18 tells us that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear and love cannot coexist in your life. The imagery here is that a door is slammed open and fear is thrown out into the street and it is not allowed back in. And guys, perfect love leads to sacrifice. It leads to putting others before yourself. It leads to you seeking reconciliation with those that you are estranged to. How do you overcome fear and live in sacrificial love? It just seems so hard to let go of my pride. I just can't seem to stop being selfish. And guys, you are right. You can't do it on your own. So let me suggest a few points to help you live in the spirit of love and fear. First is this, stop and pray. Just stop what you're doing and pray. Ask God for areas where you have fallen short, for ways you have been selfish, for underlying prejudices or areas of pride. We have been given an incredible blessing in the Holy Spirit. One of the roles, cut here. I'm going to stop with stop and pray. I'm going to go back to that. All right. So the first thing I want to suggest is this, is stop and pray. Ask God for areas in your life where you've fallen short, for ways you have been selfish, for underlying prejudices or areas of pride. Guys, we have been given an incredible gift in the Holy Spirit. One of his roles in our lives is to convict us of where we fall short. When we pray, not just for a few seconds, but when we really pray, the Holy Spirit will begin to help us where we fall short. Secondly, is when he does show us where we are falling short, act immediately. I find that when I have been convicted of something in my life, the faster I act on my conviction, the more likely I will be to overcome the sin in my life. Church, I leave you with one last story. One of my biggest heroes is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. During World War II, Bonhoeffer came to America to study at Union Seminary. He was safe from the Nazis in America, but there was this nagging desire in his heart to go back to help lead the church in Germany, the church he loved so much. He knew that by going back, it could very well cost him his freedom and possibly his life. Pause with me and just think about this decision. Leaving safety to enter Nazi Germany when everyone else was running to another country, he went to Germany. Why? Why would he do that? Because of love. For God has not given him a spirit of fear, but of love, sacrificial love, the same love as a Savior who laid down his life. Bonhoeffer would end up implicated in a plot to assassinate Hitler, and was put in a concentration camp, set to die by hanging. He spent much of his time there in prayer, trusting that the fate due to him was just the beginning of his life with Christ. Upon reflecting of the courage of Bonhoeffer, Dr. H. Fischer Holstrung said of his last moments, "Through the half door in the one room of the hut, I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer, before taking off his prison garb, kneeling to the floor, praying fervently to his God. I was most deeply moved by the way this lovable man prayed, so devout and so certain that the God heard his prayers. At the place of execution, he again said a short prayer and then climbed up the steps of the gallows, brave and composed. His death ensued rather quickly. In the almost 50 years I have worked as a doctor, I have hardly seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God. Do you fear or do you trust God will take care of you? Are you willing to love so sacrificially that you would give up your pride, your selfishness, or even your life? Let's pray.